Hallelujah indeed, right? This is the month. This is the month that we as a country spend time focusing on gratitude. So it is my honor to present a series of lessons this month on that very subject. And this morning, I suggest to you, I know we see the obvious, that we have a lot to be thankful for. Number one, if we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we need to be singing hallelujah. So much to be thankful for, but this morning, before I even began our sermon, I've got great news. Just a little bit ago, during our fellowship period, I got the honor to fellowship with someone who's been visiting with us for a week or so now. And in that moment, I got to know, and I even called a couple of our other elders over, and we got to know a man who has desired to place his membership with us this morning. This man comes from another congregation in town, but he's moved into our area, and so he wants to be a part. Y'all know a man by the name of B.P. Black, right? He baptized him into Christ many years ago, and he's wanting to be a part of our congregation here today. And so help me welcome Brother Roger McCaleb. Brother Roger. I love that. Brother Roger, also, go ahead and put him on your prayer list. I don't think he'd mind me telling you. He has to, about three times a week, go to dialysis. And by the way, it was not real easy for him to stand up just now, but he did, and he waved to everyone, and I love that. So y'all help this great man feel welcome and be a part, being a part of our congregation here at Azalea City. We have some other folks who are with us today for the very first time. How about that? A lot to be thankful for, I told you. And y'all know what happens when I bring this out. This morning, we have a couple babies who are here for the very first time. I know that you are anxiously waiting to see these babies, but I also want us to be thankful for their moms and dads. Certainly, I want us to thank Conan and Brooklyn for bringing baby Whitley to us this morning. And I want to show baby Whitley off. So if Conan, if you'll bring her up, bringing her up, I just want you to know it's a real life baby doll. I saw her, we're able to, Jeff May and myself were able to be with them before the baby was born, but I saw her for the first time in person at Trunk or Treat. Today's the first time I'm going to get to hold her. Oh, Whitley, baby. Look at that. How? You are a baby doll. You are so pretty. I know. Oh, this whole world's hard to get used to, isn't it, baby? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Conan even wore his Alabama for y'all today. what a blessing to be able to have them with us this morning. But that's not the only baby who's here today. Again, a lot to be thankful for. There's been a lot of prayers that have gone up for the Copeland family. And certainly those prayers were answered when Elijah and Gabe became their sons. But then we know that God answered those prayers by allowing them to be able to have baby Shepherd. Baby Shepherd is here, and I have held baby Shepherd once before, but I'm going to show him off to you It's my honor to do that now. So Taylor, come on up. Oh my goodness, look at that. Huh? I really want to hold him up like Mufasa, but I'm scared to do that, you know? He is so handsome. You can go sit down, Taylor. We are so proud for y'all and so thankful for his wonderful parents, grandparents, and all the like, but also for his big brothers who are doing an excellent job. What a beautiful scene, right? See, a lot of perks being the preacher here. I'm so proud of you, four parents, bringing your babies to church. That means so much. Do want you to add to your prayer list, Sister Angie, keep her on your prayer list. You're going to be having surgery on Friday, another surgery on Friday, so if you will, remember her in your prayers. Justin, I'm going to try to make sure I got it on. There we go. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, by the way, Dawson, excellent job. He was up here, he was ready, and I appreciate that, moving things quickly and forward. Did a great job reading to us from what I think is one of the most powerful passages in all the Bible. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, these words, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Just a moment ago, Jason asked me Wednesday night, and Jason, excellent job leading us, and I mean, what their family has been through and going through. He's leaving here and traveling again. Just a lot to be thankful for, folks. But and some excellent songs today. But in the one about what is His will for us, right? Talking about Hosanna, talking about our King. I was going to get to my phone out and take a picture of the lyrics on the screen, but I wrote them down real quickly. There's lyrics in there that just hit me so hard. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. My question I have to ask today is this. Are we singing salvation songs? Are we carrying songs, as we've talked about the last 3 weeks now? Justin did such a great job last week. Are we singing songs? Are we rejoicing always? Are we walking everywhere we go, giving out that joy to others because we know Jesus Christ has set us free? In class this morning, by the way, I love my Bible class that I'm a part of. I love all of our Bible classes, but such great discussion in there this morning. But we referenced Acts chapter 8, verse 39, the Ethiopian eunuch. My brother Toby was in that class, and talking about rejoicing, he looked it up in the dictionary and talked about part of the definition of rejoicing is to give that joy to others. And in Acts 39, if you will remember, the eunuch who did not know what he was reading from what we know as Isaiah chapter 53. He understood what he was reading when Philip overtook his chariot led by the Holy Spirit. And he from Isaiah 53 about Jesus. And obviously in that, he taught him how to get into Jesus. And somewhere in that message, the eunuch's heart was filled with penitence, with love, with hope, And I believe with gratitude. Because once they came to some water, even though it would have been very inconvenient on a trip back to the queen of Ethiopia, who he worked for, he asked Philip right then and there, there's water right out here, just like there's water behind this wall. There's water stopping me right now from getting out of this chariot and being immersed in that water, contacting Jesus Christ. He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And they did. They got out of the chariot, went down in the water. Philip baptized him. And then verse 39 reminds us, Philip is called away and he's going out to lead somebody else to Christ. But what did the eunuch do? He went on his way rejoicing. He was singing salvation songs. Do you think he was telling other people about what Jesus has done for him? Do you think, as we talked about the definition, he was giving that joy to others? You know he was, because his heart was filled with gratitude. When Paul writes the words in 1 Thessalonians 5, he's writing to a church that's under persecution. Persecution like we have never, and I pray to our Father, never will experience. They were a young congregation. They had not been around long. And they were living in a culture that was hostile to their faith. I understand we've got people that are against us, but especially here in the south of the United States, we live in a culture that pretty much you can talk about Jesus and others, I mean, except for, unfortunately, what was experienced earlier that Jason talked to us about. There are going to be people like that, right? There are going to be people that no matter if you give them, if you give them from your heart, if you purchase something for them, if you take care of them, they're going to think there is no God. Now, I would suggest if I had to do, my counseling brain went to this guy, he's probably experienced something really bad in his past. Might have even been under the substance of something else. But for the most part, we live in an area where you can talk about Jesus and others will appreciate it. I was in a restaurant with some folks, my family, a couple, a few nights ago, and I walked by a lady and didn't know her at all, was going to pay for her food, and she said, he must be a cop. I think probably because of the way I was maybe built or whatever, she thought, you know, cops are strong, whatever, guys. And I could have just let it go, couldn't I? But I went back, I said, actually, I'm a preacher. For the next couple minutes, we became best buddies. We talked about Jesus. We live in a society, in a culture where you can do that. But the church at Thessalonica didn't. They lived in a culture, in a time where people would kill you for talking about your faith. Writing to them is the very one who's been beaten, who's been shipwrecked, who's been stoned, who's been imprisoned, who's been in danger after danger after danger, all because he tried to spread gratitude and joy and Jesus to others. But the church at Thessalonica, instead of telling them how to escape hardship, this is very important to note, Paul didn't tell them, this is how you flee hardship. This is how you get out of storms. This is how you run from the problems. He gave them the lesson to endure it with joy. You see, gratitude is not a seasonal response. We're talking about it right now because 'tis the season. FYI, quit letting Thanksgiving be the redheaded stepchild, you Christmas people. I saw more Christmas decorations than going to wherever we played football Friday night. I still don't know. And I'm like, poor old Thanksgiving. I love Christmas too, though. But this is the season to talk about that. I get it. But it's not a seasonal response to things. It needs to be our spiritual stance. You see, being thankful, it's not about feeling thankful. It's about choosing to be thankful. A grateful heart doesn't deny the storm. The church at Thessalonica, Paul didn't say, hey, this is how you get out of storms. We can't deny there are going to be storms. Some of you are walking through storms right now. Maybe it's your health, maybe it's your loved ones, maybe it's something in your marriage, maybe it's something in your finances. There are storms going on. But the grateful heart declares, God is good even in the storm. So how do we have a grateful heart? How do we rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances give thanks? I'm glad you asked, because from this we're going to develop our sermon today. Number one, we need to remember that gratitude is a choice. He said, give thanks in all circumstances, verse 18. Gratitude is not a suggestion. In fact, I believe it's the will of God, because here's what he said. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in you. He didn't create us to be selfish. He didn't create us to be unappreciative. He didn't create us to forget and to not rejoice always. He created us to be thankful people. But instead, I think from time to time, because of culture, because of society, because of social media presence and all this that's going on around us, we become, instead of thankful, expectful. I wrote a book one time on families. And part of that, in the family, I was talking about how husbands and wives and children need to be thankful for each other. I talk about how a husband may bring flowers home to his wife one day, and instead of saying thankful, she's like, well, why didn't you bring more roses? Or a meal may be prepared for the husband, and instead of saying, baby, thank you so much, this is the best, perhaps, say, hey, it needs more salt, it needs more this, it needs more that. See, we don't time where thankfulness is taught so much, we live in an I expect you to do this. It's kind of like the church. If we're honest with ourselves, I'm not going to do one thing to help the church grow, but I expect them to be at my beck and call. It's that mindset of, am I spreading joy? Or am I walking around like I just ate the worst onion sandwich known to man? It's interesting to note that when Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, he uses, in English terms, what is the present active imperative. What it really means is this: it's a continual, ongoing command. I would imagine most of us in this room, if we have an opportunity in a few weeks to sit down for Thanksgiving dinner, along the way we will talk to one another about what we're thankful for. But why has it got to be one time? It should be ongoing. What would it mean today, husbands, if you grabbed your wife, took both her hands in your hands, you looked her in her eyes and said, honey, I am so glad God gave me you? Or what if you did that to you, even if you have to get down on their level and say, buddy, baby, I'm so glad God gave me you? That helps self-esteem. That helps the heart. That helps mentally so much. And it drives home the point that Thanksgiving is not a one time of the year thing. It should be an ongoing attitude that we have as Christians every day of our lives. There's so much to be thankful for. The Christian life isn't built on what's happening around us. It's built on who lives within us. Gratitude has to depend on perspective. And it can't depend on expecting perfection. I'm going to tell you right now, we can always find something to complain about. I could open up a door right now and complain about 100 things, probably. It's easy to do. But we can also always find something to thank God for. I believe you would take this approach with your family. Maybe do it as a devotional. Maybe do it as an act. At the evening time, come together, whether that's at the dinner table or wherever it may be, and ask the question, how did you see God today? You see, if I know I'm supposed to have that question, then I know I'm going to be looking for it, and it's going to put my mindset in a constant state of, wow, look at our God. That's why he said in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. It will remind us every day there's something to be thankful for. If we will allow it, gratitude will shift our focus when we make that choice from what's wrong to what's right. From what's missing to what's present. And I want to tell you, I suffered with that for a long, long time. And the elders, other elders can tell you too. I used to get so bogged down in numbers. When I was a youth minister, we might have a youth group of 30 or 40 and maybe five would come to an event and I would get so frustrated at the 35 that didn't instead of being thankful for the five that did. So driven by numbers and looking at our attendance every Sunday and every Wednesday and saying, wow, instead of there were this amount of people that came, I would say, why do these people not come? Why do these people not come? And understand, I know we need to check on people and we need to encourage people, but it's a mindset from what's missing to what's present. From what we don't have to who we do have. By the way, gratitude, not only is it the will of God, it's the foundation of our faith. For three straight weeks now, we've referenced Acts 16. There must be something to that. Paul and Silas, they sang hymns in prison. Paul didn't just preach it, he practiced it, right? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all things, all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. From prison, he rejoiced. From prison he prayed. From prison he was full of gratitude. In Acts 16, their worship came before their release. The earthquake didn't open the prison until they opened their mouths in praise. Gratitude, if we make that choice to do it, when we remember to do it, it will only continuously grow. Psalm 103 verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That's why it's important to reflect when we partake of the Lord's Supper. You know, we're doing nothing. Jesus said, do this and remember me. Do it in my memorial, in remembrance of me. So we reflect on what Jesus has done. And listen, yes, there was a lot of what Jesus did that's somber, right? He went to the cross and that was evil. But think of what coming up out of that grave did. There's a lot of rejoicing because of it. But see, that remembrance, that memory is something we need to do every day. Reflect on the good in our lives. And what will happen when we remember that, it will encourage us to keep remembering and to remind others too as well. I would just challenge you every day to list three things you are thankful for. If you do that, you'll be surprised how your outlook will change long before your circumstances even do. Gratitude is a choice, but also, gratitude's a cure. If you go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, the second part of that, I've said it several times now, he says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know what gratitude cures? It cures bitterness. It's easy to be bitter. I mean, if we want to be bitter, it doesn't take long to look around and find something to be bitter about. Brother Roger, I didn't ask for permission, but he told me this morning, and it just touched my heart, about him going to dialysis. 4.5 hours each trip. But this morning when I sat down with him, the first thing he did was compliment me. The next thing he did is he talked about the church, and he talked about, I didn't hear any bitterness in him. Some of us might have been bitter right off the bat this morning, and we don't have one health problem to mention. You see, gratitude will cure our bitterness. Gratitude looks at what God gave us anyway. Bitterness looks at what life took away. I love the story of Naomi. I love the story of Ruth. But think about what Naomi had gone through. She had lost her husband. She had lost... Essentially, she'd lost everything. Because she had no money, she had no way. And when Orpah and Ruth have a decision, she says, honeys, y'all go back to your families. Because yes, Ruth and Orpah, they lost their husbands as well, remember? But she's sending them back. And here's what she said. She told them in Ruth 1, call me Mara. You know what Mara means? Bitter. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. And I'm afraid sometimes we look at bad things that way. And listen, I'm not going to beat Naomi up because I think we can relate to some of that. When things don't go my way, God, why? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you treating me bitterly? But can you imagine the gratitude that returned to her when she was able to hold Obed? We don't think about that. Obed was her grandson in many ways. Can you imagine the joy that came back to her? You see, God was working even when she couldn't see it. Gratitude's a cure for bitterness, but it's also a cure for worry. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, don't miss this, with thanksgiving. The word thanksgiving there, the Greek is eucharistia, means to show favor or grace. When we thank God, we're acknowledging His grace before we ever see the results. It's easy to worry. It's easy to be anxious. It's easy to be consumed by things we can't control. But we need to remember that no matter the circumstances, God is still on His throne. Worry says, what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this goes wrong? What if the doctor says this? What if? Gratitude says, even if. Even if the healing doesn't come, God is still faithful. Even if the storm doesn't stop, He's still my provider. Gratitude cures everything, really. But it also invites peace. The peace of God comes through Jesus Christ, we know that. But not when the problem disappears, but when the heart shifts towards Him. It's hard to be grateful and anxious at the same time. One is going to push the other out. You can't grow by being in fear. Listen, there are times that things will startle us, right? I mean, if I were walking down the woods with you and a rattlesnake was right there, I would be startled. I've been in a shooting house before. You hunters, you will recognize this. When you get in there and the there's thousands, it seems like, of wasps in there. You know, and most of them are cold, they can't hardly move. And I think about myself, Terry, you are way bigger than them. Why are you acting like this? But I mean, really, it's easy to get startled. It's easy to live, but we shouldn't let anything keep us afraid. Startled's one thing, but we can't live in fear. And I don't say that. I think I'm the toughest man on the planet, folks. I don't care how tough you are. Bullets beat toughness. But at the end of the day, I do not fear man. I do not fear whoever got elected mayor. I had somebody come up to the gym Friday with me. Had a good conversation, one that I'm like, really don't want to have this conversation right now. I got to go out of town in a little bit. But he asked me, he said, how many more prophecies? He knows I'm a minister. How many more prophecies have to come to be before Jesus comes to earth? He said, the rapture. I said, really a conversation I probably need to sit down with you. I said, that short answer is, I don't even know. I mean, I said most of what happened, I don't have time to explain all that to you, but most of what happened in the Bible happened at the fall, before the fall of Jerusalem, okay? We're worrying about things, people are worried, putting things together, and it's already happened, okay? But, all that aside, my point to him was this. Why are you bogged down with who got elected mayor of New York? Oh, well, it's going to do this, it's going to do that. I said, God is on the throne. I don't care. Listen, I don't live in New York. I don't live in whatever other place that somebody I don't agree with got elected. Do I agree with him? No. But my point of it is, why are we bogging down in that kind of stuff? There's so much to be thankful for. There's so much good all around us. Let's have peace. Cut that junk out. I told him, I'm like, look, I was devastated when my candidate didn't win in 2016 or whatever it was, 2020. I was devastated. But you know what I realized? I was devastated because of the negativity that was coming to me so much. So I cut that junk out of my life. I tell you, cut it out. Finally, under this point, gratitude heals relationships. In a marriage, gratitude softens criticism. In church life, Gratitude destroys gossip. In leadership, gratitude breeds contentment and unity. If you find yourself struggling with bitterness or anxiety, start being specific with your thankfulness to God. I say this every year. Again, it shouldn't just say at this time of the year. But I'm going to challenge everybody in this room and everybody listening at home that you spend at least one of your prayers this week, next week, or every day not asking God for anything. Just thank Him for everything. You may think that's kind of hard to do, not when you get into it. For instance, if you pray in the shower, thank God for that running water. Thank God that it's the temperature you want it to be. Thank God that you live in a country that you're free to be able to be clean. That you have the resources. Again, it doesn't take long. You just start wherever you are and thank God for that moment, and you'll be thanking God for so-and-so that talked to so-and-so that led you to Jesus Christ before it's all said and done. There's so much to be thankful for. Finally, this morning, gratitude's contagious. Gratitude shines brightest in hardship. The early church didn't convert and become rich. Y'all know that? Isn't that amazing? They didn't just get baptized and all of a sudden they've got millions of dollars. No. They were not living in comfort. But you know what they were living in? Contentment. In Acts 2:46, even though they had all the struggles around them, all the trouble that was going on, it says they broke bread with glad and sincere hearts. Paul's joy in prison led to the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his family. You see, what gratitude then, it became a witness. Gratitude should inspire our worship. You remember at a baptism from time to time, I said this in my class this morning, somebody get baptized and we sing, and this is no song leader. I'm not talking about any song leader. I'm just talking about the way we interpreted it. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. I'm like, really? Are you happy? Is that what am I really happy if I'm singing it just like this? Gratitude? Song just a minute ago? Are you giving Him that hallelujah? Or is it like, this is a new song, I don't really want to sing it. I'm tired of all these new songs around here. We got to give an account before God. And part of that, He's going to see, how did you... We have sincere, grateful hearts, then truly our hearts will sing salvation songs. We will rejoice. We will be happy. We will not get bogged down in life. When one person gives thanks publicly, others are reminded of God's goodness privately. One thing I learned from ministries is we are singing to God, yes, but we're singing to one another. Remember when we faced each other? That hit me between the eyes because, listen, you think God knows that there was already victory in Jesus? I believe so. But we need to sing it to remind us that there's victory in Jesus and to tell others that are in this room, hey, remember, there's victory in Jesus. You see, we need each other. That's contagious. Negativity is contagious, but so is gratitude. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? You know what he did before the miracle? He gave thanks. The thanksgiving came before the multiplying. When we thank God before He answers, we're declaring our trust in His timing. That's contagious faith. And others will gladly catch it. Crystal Galloway one time, sorry Crystal, I didn't ask you either. She told me about this book that a lady wrote who went through the Holocaust. Not only did she go through the Holocaust, but she would hide Jews in her home, in the wall, and other places so they wouldn't get caught. You probably heard of her, Corrie Ten Boom. Crystal mentioned that in class one time, and I went and I read her book, and it's touched me ever since. I want to read you an excerpt from some things she wrote. We're going to close on this. Corrie Ten Boom was no stranger to suffering. She and her sister Betsy were in prison in Ravensbrück, one of the most brutal concentration camps of World War II. She was in prison for hiding Jews from the Nazis. The conditions were horrific, as you could imagine. Starvation, overcrowding, cruelty, and a lot of despair. Their barracks, her and her sister, their barracks were infested with fleas. Can you imagine the biting, the swarming, the constant irritation? It made an already unbearable existence seem even worse. One morning after reading from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Betsy told Corrie, this is Corrie's sister now, we need to obey that verse literally. Now think of where they are. Think of the conditions they're living in. Corrie, who's also human, balked. I can thank God for food, even though it was meager. I could thank Him for being together with my sister. I could thank Him for the worn pages of this smuggled Bible. But thank God for fleas? That just seemed absurd. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for fleas, Corrie protested. Yet Betsy gently insisted, give thanks in all circumstances, Corrie, even for the fleas. And so reluctantly, Corrie joined her sister in thanking God for the insects that tormented them day and night. They prayed words that sounded more like obedience than belief. Weeks went by of this. Then one day, Corrie realized something extraordinary. The guards never entered their barracks. The women in their section were left alone. That meant they were free to hold nightly Bible readings, sing hymns, and share the hope of Christ with others without interruption, without fear. The reason? The guards refused to enter because of the fleas. Corrie later wrote, my sister was right. Thank God for the fleas. What they once cursed became a vessel of grace. what seemed like a curse became the very thing God used to protect His Word and multiply His glory in the darkest of places. Gratitude will transform us, guys. It will transform pain into praise, trials into testimonies, chaos into calm, worry into worship. Gratitude's not natural. It's supernatural. You truly can't be thankful. You truly can't be filled with gratitude if you're not filled with Jesus. Today, are you filled with Jesus? Have you allowed Him to enter your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Have you been baptized into Him for the forgiveness of all your sins? Come up out of that water if you haven't today, just like the eunuch in Acts 8:39, rejoicing. But I'm concerned that some of us may have lost it. Today, if you need to walk the aisle and repent of something that's caused you not to be thankful, or you need to do it in your seats, let's do this. Let's give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. If you have a need, won't you come right now together with us?